Standing in front of the agent, he fondled it in the dim light, tested the edges, knelt, then pierced Pendergast's flesh with the tip and drew a thin line down the cheek. Blood welled up. "Now you have a Heidelberg dueling scar, just like my grandfather. Lovely." The red-haired woman watched, a look of cruel anticipation gathering on her face. "See how sharp it is?" Falconer continued. "But that sharpness isn't for you. It's for her." He strolled over to Constance and stood over her, playing with the knife, speaking to her directly. "If he doesn't answer my questions promptly and fully, I'm going to cut you, rather painfully." "He won't say a word," Constance replied, her voice low and steady. "He will, when we start chumming the water with bits of your body." She stared at him. Esterhazy was surprised at just how little fear he saw in her eyes. This was one scary human being. Falconer merely chuckled and turned back to Pendergast. "Your little quest, which we've only recently become aware of, has been most instructive. For example, we had thought Helen was dead these long years." Esterhazy felt his blood run cold. "Right, Judson?" "It's not true," Esterhazy said weakly. Falconer waved his hand as if it was a trifling matter. "At any rate, here's your first question. What do you know about our organization, and where did you learn it?" But Pendergast did not answer. Instead, he turned to Esterhazy, a strangely sympathetic look in his eyes. "You're next, you realize." Falconer strode over to Constance and grabbed her hands, which were cuffed behind the stanchion. He took his knife and sliced slowly and deliberately into her thumb. She stifled a cry, turning her head sharply to one side. "Next time, speak to me and answer my question."
"Don't speak," Constance said hoarsely, not looking back. "Don't say anything. They're going to kill us anyway."
"Not true," said Falconer. "If he talks, we'll drop you off alive on shore. He can't save his own life, but he can save yours." He turned back to Pendergast. "Answer the question."
The special agent began to talk. He told, briefly, of discovering that his wife's gun had been loaded with blanks, and realizing that meant she had been murdered in Africa 12 years before. He spoke slowly, clearly, and utterly without inflection.
"And so you went to Africa," said Falconer, "and discovered our little conspiracy to get rid of her."
"Your conspiracy?"
Pendergast seemed to consider this.
"Why are you talking?" asked Constance suddenly. "You think he's going to let me go? Of course not. Cease speaking, Aloysius. We're both dead anyway."
His face alight with arousal, Falconer reached down, grasped her hand, and took the knife, slowly cutting into her thumb again, much more deeply this time. She grimaced and writhed in pain, but did not cry out. From the corner of his eye, Esterhazy noted that Schultz and Zimmerman had holstered their weapons and were enjoying the show.
"Don't," Esterhazy said to Falconer. "You keep doing that, he'll stop talking." "Damn you, I know what I'm doing. I've been at this for years." "You don't know him."
But Falconer had stopped. He held up the bloody knife, waved it in front of Pendergast's face, wiped the blood off on the agent's lips.
"The next time, her thumb comes off." He smiled crookedly. "Do you love her?"
"I suppose you must."
"Young, beautiful, spirited.
Who wouldn't?"
He straightened up, took a slow turn around the deck.
"I'm waiting, Pendergast. Go on."
But Pendergast did not go on. Instead, he was looking at Esterhazy intently. Falconer paused in his circuit, cocked his head to one side.
"All right, I always keep my promises. Schultz, hold her hand steady."
Schultz grasped Constance's hand as Falconer brandished the knife. Esterhazy could see he was indeed going to cut off her thumb. And if he did, there would be no going back, not for Pendergast. And not for him. Chapter 76.
"Just a moment," Esterhazy said.
Falconer paused.
What?
Esterhazy quickly stepped over to Falconer and leaned into his ear.
There's something I neglected to tell you, he murmured. Something you must know. It's very important.
Damn it! I'm in the middle of this!
Step over to the rail. They mustn't hear. I'm telling you, it's of the utmost importance.
This is a hell of a time to be interrupting my work,
Falconer muttered, the smile of sadistic pleasure giving way to a scowl of frustration. Esterhazy led Falconer over to the port rail and walked him slightly aft. He glanced up. The view from both the bridge and the foredeck was blocked.
What's the problem? Falconer demanded.
Esterhazy leaned over to whisper in his ear, placing his hand on his shoulder. As they drew together, heads bowed, Esterhazy brought his pistol up and fired a bullet into the German's cranium. A cloud of blood, gore, and bits of bone jetted out the far side, the blowback spraying Esterhazy directly in the face. Falconer jerked forward, eyes wide and astonished, and he fell into Esterhazy's arms. Esterhazy grasped him by the shoulders, and with a brusque movement, heaved the body up onto the rail and tipped it over. At the report of the gun, Zimmermann came tearing around the corner. Esterhazy shot him between the eyes.
Schultz! He cried out. Help us!
A moment later, Schultz appeared, gun in hand, and Esterhazy shot him as well. Then Esterhazy backed away, sputtering and spitting, wiping his face clean with a handkerchief, and returning to the small group, pistol drawn. Goethe stood there, staring at him, paralyzed.
Walk over here, he told her, slow and easy, or you're dead too.
She obeyed. As she reached the edge of the cabin, he grabbed her, and with the same tape used to tie Pendergast, bound her ankles, wrists, and mouth. He left her on the walkway where she wasn't visible from the bridge, then strode back to the aft deck, where Hammer was slowly regaining consciousness, groaning and muttering. Esterhazy bound him securely. He made a quick tour of the upper decks, found the wounded Eberstark, and bound him as well. Then he walked forward again to where Pendergast and Constance were restrained. He looked at the pair. Both had witnessed what he'd done. Constance was silent, but he could see blood dripping from her injured finger. He knelt, examined it. The second, deeper cut, went to the bone, but not through it. He fumbled in his pocket, brought out a clean handkerchief, and bound the finger. Then he stood up and faced Pendergast. The silvery eyes glittered back. Esterhazy thought he could detect, barely,